And I'm pleased to say I've been joined by my guests this afternoon. It's Sarah Rampton and Gary Jarman. Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Let's start with you, Sarah. Can you tell us about this new project you've got coming up?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm part of In Jolly Company charity, and we run activity days for older people in Dorset that are open to everyone but are also dementia friendly. At the moment, we're involved in a project called Beyond the Lines, where we've done a big photography project where people who come to our groups have taken amazing black and white portraits of each other with professional cameras. And they have also recorded audio with the lovely Gary, who's here today. And now we're moving that further on into a series of podcast episodes to look at aging and the stereotypes around it, and also look at creativity within that and how people adjust.
I must say, those photos, I had a look at them. They do look very professional, don't they? Black and white, but they're great. They're good models as well, aren't they?
No, they're amazing. And I think people were surprised when they saw their own pictures. Some people didn't like seeing themselves like that, because black and white, in a way, you know, you can see every line. But Beyond the Lines is about celebrating those lines, really. And also looking into people's stories, because we're not just following a script of saying, oh, here's an old person, you know, let's pity them and perhaps they're a bit annoying and they're in the way. But we're actually looking at fascinating stories. And it's not just in the past. People are leading incredible lives in the present as well. Gary's really helped us to capture that through his brilliant interview techniques. He makes people feel really at ease, and that has really paid off in the audio clips.
Tell us a little bit about the audio clips, Gary.
So we went along to some of the In Jolly Good Company sessions and had a look at some of the photographs that people have taken of each other, and they're really great photographs, and just look brilliant. But we wanted to just chat to people, interview them on we did it on camera, so that we've got video should we want to use it going forward, but really just to try and get people to tell their story. So we do that a lot in the work that we do, is collecting people's stories and talking to people. And it was a mixture of people. It was older people, carers, and people with dementia, and so that took lots of different turns, I suppose, and different perspectives. It brought a lot of different perspectives to things. But one of the things I think it did is probably challenge negative stereotypes that people have with you know, their feelings towards older people. And listening to some of the stories was just really, really fascinating and captivating. So once we've got all that audio, we've edited short clips for each individual. Some have more than one, and sort of partnered them with their photographs, so you could scan QR codes at the exhibition. It was exhibited at Dorset County Hospital, and people could listen to the stories that were beyond those pictures, beyond the lines.
Can you give us a little idea, without spoiling any podcasts you might be doing, a little idea of some of the stories that people gave you?
We had some great stories. We had some really heart-wrenching stories as well, and we can't, you know, there were some stories that we, you know, on reflection, we thought we wouldn't necessarily tell. But I remember talking to a lady who was in the Tiller Girls back in the day, and performed on stage, performed on TV, met Frank Sinatra, just hearing her route into that world, and then what she did beyond that. And, you know, you don't look at this older lady drinking tea and eating biscuits in Jolly Good Company and think about someone on stage performing and interacting with Frank Sinatra. And I think that's what happens a lot, is that we just don't see beyond people's appearance or people's age. And just some of those stories were fascinating. And there are plenty of other ones. And even if they're not fascinating, or like, you know, not TV and big kind of important stories, they're still really important stories.
This lady called Lynn, who worked as a hairdresser.
Yes.
And she talks about working at Teasy Weezy's salon in Bournemouth. And this is when Bournemouth was quite the place. You know, it was very smart. And there were several hairdressers there who catered for celebrities. And Ron Teasy Weezy's was one of them. He was a celebrity hairdresser, and he had a chain of these places. And she talked about going to pick up the other hairdressers in her little car, because they didn't drive, and they all piled into her little car. And she had a picnic table in the back and things like this. I just love that detail because it's very visual, actually.
Yeah, it was. And these were stories that stuck with people. So that lady had dementia. We spoke to another gent who has had Alzheimer's for a while. And I think what struck me, and I personally, in my personal life, I have a family member with dementia, struck me how different the illnesses with different people and how it affects people differently, and how lucid some people can be, how the different kind of traits that come out. And I think we sometimes think about dementia and have a picture in our head, this person has dementia, and then we know exactly what that means, but I really don't think we do. And I think there's a lot more we can learn about that from talking to people and meeting people with the illness. So
we're going to be picking up on that in the podcast, in our episode Dementia There's No Single Story, because there's a huge number of different varieties of dementia, and they affect people very differently, and each person is different with that progression. And some of the people that come to our groups who are living with dementia are not necessarily old. They're young, they're under 65, some people in their late 50s even. So, you know, there's a lot of variety. And what we love about our Jolly Days is that it's not just for people with dementia. We have all sorts of people with various health conditions or none, people who just come there for the fun of it and to be creative and to meet other people. And so by accident then you're destigmatizing dementia, because they're getting to know each other as people. They're not putting people into boxes according to age or illness or anything else. And we're working right across social classes as well, which is something I'm very proud of, actually.
It's a mixed group of people, isn't it? And I think with the podcast, one of the things we wanted to do is bring someone with a medical mind in, someone who can speak to what physically the illness might do in your body or why it might affect some people differently. And so we've invited some guests on to talk to us. Sarah's going to be hosting and interviewing and chatting to these people. Who have we got on, Sarah?
We've got Dr. Bernie Coop. I don't know if he likes being called Bernie. I've been calling him that. We'll find out, won't we? And he's a consultant psychiatrist, and he works for the Memory Assessment Service in Dorset. So we're really keen to talk to him. We've got Dr. Michelle Board from the Aging and Dementia Research Centre in Bournemouth. And we've got Dr. Natalie Dahari, and she's from the Centre for Seldom Heard Voices. I love that name.
That's a good name.
So it's going to be really interesting. Plus, we have Vicky Tweedy, who's a consultant nurse in Dorchester Hospital, working with people with dementia, and Kate Rourke, who's an expert in nursing older people. So we've got really great people coming. But the greatest of all those people coming are people who are actually living with dementia and just older people in general. I'm older, so I'm becoming an expert in this too. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to have those conversations. But most of all, it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. Is part of it trying to change people's impression of what old people are like? You know, we get put in a box, get given a category.
Yeah.
So part of it is trying to educate people.
It's looking beyond the lines,
yeah,
which we all have to remind ourselves to do on a daily basis. Even I, who are working with older people all the time, make assumptions that are completely wrong. We can do that about any group of people. People talk about young people and go, oh, young people, they lump them all together, which of course is not the case. As soon as you meet an amazing young person, start talking to them, that's all you need to do. Yeah. Get to know people as people.
There's lessons that can be taken from this, aren't there, that, you know, because we're looking at one particular group of people, but there is plenty of groups of people and different cultures, different ages that we look at and make judgments on. And I think we want to challenge that idea, you know, put some effort in, go and chat to people, meet people, hear these stories. And when you do, you'll realize that, you know, we're not all so different. And actually, we've got a lot to gain by having these interactions and meeting people.
I think it's a great thing that you're doing. I mean, when I think back to like some of the old people that when I was younger, if I could have recorded some of their stories, and that would have been amazing, right? I didn't have the equipment, but you know, you don't have to do anything glamorous, but you know, everybody's got some interesting stories, haven't they?
A big regret of mine is that I wanted to do that with my grandmother years ago. I'm a filmmaker, and I used to test cameras by visiting my grandmother, and she would sort of potter about her day, and I'd be trying my camera out, recording different things and doing different settings. But at times we'd sit down and chat or have an interview. And I thought I must do this like on a big scale and get some of that family history, learn things about maybe my younger self and kind of our relationship from her perspective and things like that I never got round to doing before she developed dementia, and I was unable to have those conversations with her.
It's very sad. Tell us a little bit about the podcast. Is there a whole series of them coming, Gary?
We're planning, and I say planning because this is the first sort of foray for us into podcasting, but we're planning a series of 12 podcasts. We have some episodes mapped out. We know the topics we want to discuss. We've invited guests, and we've got a good idea for a structure of the podcast. We want to we haven't put a time limit on episodes. I think they will be as long as they are interesting, and we'll talk to people about things, and then it'll just be about getting the podcast out there. So we've got someone that we're going to talk to about publishing podcasts, who's going to help us with that. And then we're hoping that you guys like to feature episodes on the radio.
Yeah.
So Arts in Hospitals are going to put a link to the podcast in a lovely booklet that they're preparing for their patients, which has all of the Beyond the Lines photos in, because the photos were a big hit in the hospital. Lots of members of staff did not want them taken down. They said, well, these are our friends now. So they're going to have reprints of the photos, a permanent exhibition, albeit in a smaller form. So they will have links to the audio interviews, but they'll also have links to the podcast that maybe family and friends can help people access if they are patients in the hospital. And the booklet is going to be interactive, and it will encourage people to do their own, maybe a bit of writing, perhaps a bit of drawing. I don't know if they'll be graffitiing moustaches onto our jolly guests. I kind of hope so, because that would be really creative.
Creativity is a thread that will run through this, I think, because you know what Sarah Dove does is there's a creative element that runs through in Jolly Good Company, and Arts, she mentioned Arts in Hospitals, who have been involved and will feature in the podcast. But you know, there's something to be said, I think, for a person's health and well-being as we get older. Like those creative things matter, doing things with your time, being creative, keeping your brain
active. I think we talked about this earlier, about being keeping your inner child alive. You might look older, but you're never too old to play and have fun and be silly and mess about and laugh, and those things are very life enhancing. So that's kind of what we want to create within our jolly days, and you know, with the photographs and with these podcasts as well. We want people to have fun.
Earlier on, when you were showing me the photos, you were saying about how some of them are messing about a lot and having a great time, but some of them also a little bit nervous, you thought, and then when they start doing it, they're okay.
Yeah,
there's that one lady you told me about that you were surprised then. Well, her
we were surprised that she would she agreed to be interviewed. This is someone who's living with huge anxiety. And her carer did say, as I told you, when Gary was interviewing her, and this is the magic of Gary, she said, look, she is not shaking, meaning that normally she's shaking.
Mm.
Talking to Gary, however, and it was a beautiful interview with lovely detail about her rescuing a rabbit, I think, from a combine harvester in the field, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, a beautiful childhood story, which unless you're with someone that you're really comfortable with, you're not going to disclose that kind of thing.
I think it's important when you interview people, you'll probably know yourself, like, that you want, you know, to make people feel relaxed and comfortable. I think you have to be honest, and you have to be open when you're talking to people, you know, give something of yourself. You know, I talk to people a lot with anxiety and vulnerable adults. We do a lot of work with vulnerable adults, but you know, if I'm interviewing people about their anxiety, I will sometimes talk about my own experiences with depression or anxiety and things like that, because I think whether we want to admit it or not, we all experience a lot of these things all the time, and actually people feel much more comfortable talking about that. And we hope that this podcast kind of opens that up as well. It opens up conversations with people.
Yeah. It'd be great if we could have a phone in.
Wouldn't it be good? Yeah.
Yes, it would be absolutely brilliant.
Series 2, Sarah.
I'll start fundraising now, Gary.
So when do you think the podcasts are going to be ready, Gary? Put you on the spot.
Well, as soon as I can get to it, really, Andy. I can't answer that question because I don't want to be too prescriptive about what we record and how long we record it for. Mm. The point of this would be to get a conversation going, open and honest conversation. And, you know, if that conversation goes on for an hour, great. If it goes on for 2 hours, great. But I don't know how much stuff we're going to have to work with when we're editing it down, and then making decisions about how long each episode is going to be. We want it to be usable chunks, so and easy to listen to. So
there,
you know,
for music,
there will be some
well.
Lovely music.
We've got a contemporary folk band who will be playing some instrumental music. They're called Lydia Laughing.
Yeah. Yes, and we've already probably chosen from some of their music what we like to put in there and keep. But yes, when's it going to be ready? I think we're aiming for sometime towards the end of the year, but maybe a bit sooner than that if we're good.
Something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to.
Is there anywhere people can go for more information? Or?
As information becomes available, would it be fair to say that the website is a good place?
So that will be injollygoodcompany.com.
Well, it sounds like a great idea. Well done. And thanks for coming in. And let us know how it all goes.
We will.
I think we'll be playing the podcast, won't we?
We'd like to, we'd like it if you could. We'll definitely come back and tell you how it's gone. And if we can get the podcast on the air, if people are interested and chatting to us.
Of course they'll be interested.
Of course, yes.
No, I mean, if people want to come and get in touch and talk to us about the podcast and you know, how they might, you know, want to take part in the next series, let us know.
Well, I look forward to hearing it. Anyway, lovely. Thanks again for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.